This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show. From Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist, here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
That's probably pretty close to the truth. Well, yeah, we're here.
This is the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show, and I hope you're listening. And if you have questions, I've got answers. And the number you would call would be 673-4464. And this show is about, just ideas and things you can do, things you should have been done, but maybe you are procrastinating and didn't get around to it, and I'll talk about those items.
All right.
But, it's nice. All of a sudden it's nice, you know. And I couldn't believe how warm. I had my windows down driving around, and, you know, it is wonderful. I mean, this is This is real spring.
This is it.
Well, hopefully we don't get snow next week.
Well.
You never know. But, like I say, you got a question, even if I'm talking about, cactus plants in Arizona. Still, you can call, interrupt
China.
Me.
China.
Or China, you know, and you can call and interrupt me, ask your question, and it's not an interruption. It's something that we can do and have fun at. So don't be afraid to call. I'm a friendly guy. I don't bite. But there are some spring projects that need some attention now.
Yeah.
That we have now that we have this some dry, warm weather coming our way. And you probably neglected them because it was cold, it was rainy, it was windy. And
yucky.
I don't blame you. I try to neglect all I can, too, on those days. But it doesn't work for me because I got to earn money at it.
Mm.
But number one thing that you need to be aware of, if you have a sprinkler system, turn it on and see if it's still working. Go out there and turn it on because it seems like the weather's going to be, fairly nice for a while. And the ground, it's not completely dry, but it's in the trend of drying out because you get, one or two, three warm days and the soil moisture begins to drop.
Mm-hmm.
And then the roots begin to drop in the grasses or whatever and follow the moisture down.
As evident to the fire season already we're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. Of course, that's from some folks that don't pay attention to their burn pile. But at any rate.
Yeah, the alleged escape burn pile.
Yeah, the escaped burn pile. It got up and ran into the brush. turn that sprinkler on. See if it's still working. See if the heads come up. Check each sprinkler head, to see if it's covering the intended area. Because sometimes they get out of whack because sitting there during the winter, somebody might have stepped on one and twisted it or bent it or maybe even cracked it. And you don't know if it's going to work. You just don't turn it on and walk away. You got to turn it on and look at each zone and say, okay, I have four or five heads on this zone. I look at every one, make sure that the spray pattern is what you wanted and what it was last year for your plant survival. And if not, there might be some minor adjustments, but there may be a break. You may have to straighten something out. And, just ask yourself and look, is the water reaching the far edges of the lawn? It was last year, but for some reason, it's going too far one way. Well, somebody maybe stepped on it. So you go out there and just twist the head until it's good. Or the set screw on a lot of pop-up sprinklers, you just have a tiny screwdriver and a little screw on top. You just turn it one way or another, and that increases the spray or decreases the spray. It just depends on what you want. And what it does. And if you have any shrubs, that have grown up and they block the spray, go ahead and prune them. If it's blocking the spray to your lawn, you don't want that. You want to prune them down so that it works. And you're not going to hurt them. It's still early spring. And if it's a small shrub, you could probably cut it to the ground and it wouldn't hurt it. So,
yeah.
And then look around if you got some trees there. Or are there any tree branches that have grown significantly or sufficiently over the last year that have so many leaves on them that it's hanging a little bit lower than it was last year and the spray is being deflected from the leaves or the branches? branches. Well, go out there and snip the end of that branch off so that the weight is relieved and the branch actually raises about 6 inches and your sprinkler is okay. If you're going to have the sprinkler system and if you want a good yard, these are just some of the small things that you have to do. And if pruning is necessary, prune them so it hits the original intended target. So you go through each zone, check each sprinkler head, and be prepared for the summer season because, we're almost mid-April, are we?
Yeah, already.
Yeah, right. And mid-April, and then when May is upon us in June, and then the really hot months start, you just want to be prepared so you don't have to do a lot of redo work, like, oh my gosh, I forgot to turn on the sprinkler and the lawn's brown and it's dying. What do I do now? Blah blah blah. Or some of the shrubs are looking peaked because I didn't see that one head that wasn't working that irrigates three or four or five different shrubs in that one area. And that way you won't be surprised in the heat of the summer, okay? And this is and next step, of course, is a good time for spring fertilizing if you haven't already done it. And I know I harp on stuff a lot and I repeat myself a lot, but there's always new listeners and it's always good to hear something two or three or four or five times so that it actually gets in your mind and you go, I got to go do that. He said to do that, so I'm going to go do it.
Now.
What are you waiting for? But, lawns, of course, need like at least 3 feedings a year to be healthy. And it's not super healthy, but it's healthy. Usually you do them in April, sometimes in March, but March was a little cold and wet, so, forget it. But April is turning out to be a fairly nice month. So if you haven't fertilized your lawn, do it. Do it in April. Give it a good shot. Wake it up from its hibernation period. Then repeat in June and maybe then in October. And you'll get the best results from your lawn. It'll stay healthy. And if a healthy lawn has less weeds than a lawn that's struggling. And also remember, and I've said this a few times before in the past, when you're mowing, don't mow it so short that it looks like a carpet in your living room. Let it stay a little long. Let it stay not shaggy, but it can be cut, but it. But it needs to be a little bit longer. A little bit longer, it stays greener, it stays healthier, and weeds can't compete with a good, healthy lawn.
I told you, Dad, we didn't have to do it then.
Yeah, his dad used to do that all the time.
Absolutely.
He had more weeds than he could pick. But, and then, of course, always buy a high-quality lawn food or shrub food. Don't get something on sale for $1.99 because... you're not going to get anything out of it. I mean, it's not worth the $1.99. Pay the money, get the good stuff, read the labels, compare, this Scotts brand to this other brand or whatever you're looking at, and read the back, and it'll say this fertilizer does this, this, and this, and this. And a lot of times I just buy stuff and I don't read any labels. I don't have time for reading. But when I'm buying fertilizer or grass seed or something along those lines, I read everything. I want to make sure I'm getting the right thing and the best bang for the buck. Okay. And just think in this fertilization, you say, why do I got to do it 3 times a year? Well, the grass will survive if you only do it once, but it won't look very good by the end of the summer and the first of the fall. And just think of it this way. If you only ate Twinkies and French fries with a Pepsi once in a while, it wouldn't lead into good health. You would you would grow, but not the right way.
Yeah.
You'd have weeds on your stomach.
Or something else.
Yeah. And so lawn foods, of course, there's always 3 numbers on a fertilizer package. It's law. And the first one is always nitrogen, the second one is always phosphorus, and the third one's always potassium. And there might be trace elements, too, but those are the 3 main ingredients of any fertilizer, lawn, shrubs, hay fields, whatever. And so lawn food is high in nitrogen because that's what really perks it up, gets it green, and gets it growing. And then the lower percentages of phosphorus and potassium are for root growth and just general health. So a typical lawn fertilizer will have, say, a formula like 20% nitrogen, 10% phosphorus, 10% potassium. or and the numbers you'll see would be 20-10-10, or it could be 15-10-5, or something like that. But the nitrogen is always the first number, and if it's a lawn food, that has to be the highest percent on the bag.
Okay.
So just keep that in mind. And the best type that you can buy is also a slow-release fertilizer. See, a lot of fertilizer, you spread the granules out there, you turn on the sprinklers, or you got your hose to water it in. Well, a lot of fertilizers, it dissipates 100% of the material as soon as the water hits and starts working down into the to the soil. I mean, it's all the bang for the buck is gone. It's there. But the slow release fertilizer is formulized and capsulized sometimes that only a percentage when you water, like 15% releases.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
the next time you water, another 15% releases until it lasts for, you know, 5 or 6 weeks. You know, where the other stuff might
just
be, you know,
one shot, two weeks.
Like I say, if you eat a Twinkie, what good is it going to do you? But if you eat a Big Mac, it's better. And then if you eat a steak, it's even better than that.
I'm not going to.
It lasts longer, too.
I was going to say a Whopper.
Whopper, whatever, you know. But anyway, the slow release, whether it's a lawn food or a shrub fertilizer, is the best you can get. And it's also going to be the more expensive, okay? But you're going to get more results from that type of fertilizer. So,
question.
Yes, question.
Over the weekend, my friend and I went to Albany, and we went into, I think it was a Lowe's or something like that, and we found these lawn products, like five bags for $10. It was mirrored. Yeah, it was, I don't know, 5 pound bags of fertilizer and peat moss. I didn't know if that was a good buy or not.
Probably not.
Miracle-Gro was the.
Now, Miracle-Gro in general is a good product.
Yeah.
It just depends on what you're using it on and the strength of the product, too.
Yeah.
So that's why you want to read the back of the package and make sure you're getting something that's going to. I like Miracle-Gro because it's a Miracle-Gro fertilizer, because you put a 3 or 4 tablespoons in a gallon of water mixed up and pour it on a plant, and almost the next day you see, you know, it's standing up and waving at you saying, give me more. I like that.
Yeah, he bought a ton of that stuff, so I don't know.
No, it's good, but it's quick acting. It's so it's like when I've used this example a hot thousand times. You're really hungry and it's 2-4 hours to dinner, but you've skipped lunch.
Yeah.
So what do? You buy a Snickers bar and you eat it, and it goes, whoa, well, you got energy and you're good for about an hour. And then you go,
ooh, I'm tired.
I'm tired. I can't wait for dinner. Well, that's what the cheap fertilizers do and the Miracle-Gro's do. It's a quick fix. It doesn't hurt the plant, but it's not long lasting. It's not, a couple of days, and it's pretty much shot. It's pretty much absorbed into the plant system. So.
I think he bought enough for the summer. I mean,
well, you know, if you do that, that's good.
Because
we fertilize our hanging baskets and our greenhouse and stuff like that.
Yeah.
When we've got a hose end sprayer and it fits right on the end of the hose, and you fill the bucket up with Miracle-Gro and you turn it on, and it automatically mixes with their device in there. It automatically mixes with 2 tablespoons per gallon. So you can do almost a whole greenhouse with one container or 2 containers at the very most.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very efficient, and you know, you just hit everything on the leaves, everything. It's
nice.
Bang. It does. And it works. It does work.
Speaking of working, man, we need a break.
You want a break? Okay.
Yeah,
Am I talking too much?
No, not enough.
Okay, of course.
We'll be right back. Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show on a beautiful Wednesday in the Valley. News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Thank you, sir. We're back. Mike Winters, Lawn and Garden Show.
Yes, we're back. And by the way, if you have a question, 673-4464, and you can interrupt my train of thought if I have any, and ask me your question, and I'll give you an answer. And I've been talking about fertilizer. I've been talking about getting ready for spring. Been talking about things that maybe you hadn't thought about, but you were going to get to. Well, April's a good month to get to those things, okay? March was, I could forgive you for March. But the April, hey, wind it up and get it going.
No excuse for April.
No excuse. I do drive-bys, and if I see bad lawns, I'm going to stop and write you a ticket.
Burn it up.
Yeah. Okay. No. Now, on your lawn again, if you have moss growing in your lawn, that nitrogen that I was talking about in the last segment will burn it out. Mm. Yeah, you just put a little extra in the mossy areas, and it'll burn out. The moss does not like nitrogen.
Don't like it.
It grows itself to death.
Oh.
Because it's too much. It's like if you ate a whole cow at one time, you'd probably die.
Right.
Yeah, so don't do that. Okay?
It gets excited.
Yeah, right, exactly. Whoa, here it is. Let's eat it. And, the moss gets burned out, and if it doesn't get totally burned out, you do another application in a month and put some more on that moss and get the grass growing. And once the grass is growing, the moss has a harder time to come in. And moss only grows in the weak parts of the lawn or in the weak part where there's no grass. There might be a little spot 6 inches around or something that the grass is not doing well and is struggling. That's where the moss is going to appear, especially if it's a shady kind of yard, because moss likes shade, likes moisture, and it likes an open space. So, hey, you want to just knock them out? We got a call?
We do.
All right. Got a call.
Yeah, this is Amber.
Hi, Amber.
Okay, so I have a question about, you're talking about Miracle-Gro, and you said that you can just put it on anything and there's no regimen, like as much as it doesn't matter. And I've been doing what you said, Mike Winters.
Yes.
And so it actually has been working. I do it with my indoor plants and my outdoor plants. But what other kind of feed would you use for, like, orchids?
For orchids, I would get a specific orchid fertilizer, and it'll say that on the container, orchid fertilizer, because that's a specialized type of flower, and it takes a special ingredient, if you will, or formulization and balance.
Right.
Otherwise, you could cook it right out of a pot, you know.
Jeez.
So
I just bought a pomegranate plant, and I don't know if that's another one of those tropical plants or not.
Well,
but he's going to hell.
Well, what are you doing to it?
Well, not really anything. I'm taking care of them like I do with the rest of my plants, but I'm doing something wrong.
Well, it's indoors, obviously. So you got by a sunny window.
Yes.
Okay, and how often do you water it?
Probably once a week.
How much?
Once a week.
Maybe you need
too much.
Maybe no. Do you actually put your finger down there and feel the soil?
Yeah.
And is it damp when you water it or not?
No, usually it's pretty dry.
Okay, well, maybe it needs a little bit more water, but not
not
so much volume at any one time. Let's say you're putting a pint on once a week. Well, do a half a pint twice a week. You see what I'm saying?
Okay, so what kind of food would you suggest putting on that?
Well, you know, it's tropical stuff, but you could use Miracle-Gro. We were talking about the Miracle-Gro here earlier. You could Miracle-Gro. I use it on all my plants in the greenhouse. I use it on citrus. I use it on oranges and lemons and lemon trees that I grow. I mean, it works on fir trees and juniper.
Do you have an orange tree
at
the nursery?
Yeah.
Oh, I need to come and get one.
I think I only got one. It's the one right now.
Put it aside for Amber Johnson.
I can't because it's way too big and you couldn't pick it up. It's my mama tree. It's where.
But
I got a lot of small. I got a lot of small lemons.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
All right.
Thank you, Mr. Winters. I appreciate your input because I really have a hard time with those with the tropical plants.
Mm-hmm. Well, Just think tropical, and what do they want? Well, they want a lot of moisture.
Bikinis, and sand, and the beach.
Not all of them.
All right. Thank you
for the
so
call.
Much.
Thanks.
Bye.
Thanks, Amber.
Bye.
Oh, Lord. How do we recover from that?
I don't know. Somebody who's a pomegranate farmer, please call me and help me. Oh, gosh. So, anyway, you're out there taking care of the moss on your lawn and killing it with fertilizer, and the grass is growing, and it's doing a great job and stuff. And so all of a sudden you got all this grass growing. What do? Well, you want to check it before it gets too hot for how much has the thatch built up over the last summer, or maybe the last three summers, because you've never thatched it or something like that. And thatch is just old grass that the mower doesn't pick up. Excuse me. The mower sucks up most of it and goes in the bag, blah, blah, blah. But there's a percentage, I don't know, 5% of the cut goes down into the lawn. And, you know, for a while, nothing happens. But after two or three, maybe 4 years, as you walk on your lawn and it feels kind of spongy and bouncy, that means you've got a lot of thatch built up in there. And if the lawn is not as green or it has a few brown spots, no matter how much you fertilize it or water it, it's because the water and the fertilizer is not getting into the root zone to improve the existing grass. So what you have to do is thatch it. That means you rake out all that dead stuff and open it up so the grass can breathe, and so that when you fertilize it, that fertilizer actually gets down into the root zone, and when you water it, the water actually gets down into the root zone, and then you see a vast improvement in that lawn. They need it, every, I don't know, 3 to 5 years. It just depends on the type of grass you use.
Yeah.
Now, and thatching, you can rent a thatching machine, like from Roseburg Rentals. And what it is a looks like a giant heavy-duty rototiller, only it has these metal blades, and it turns on a drum and just thins. It's a high-speed thinning operation, and it just combs the dead stuff out of the underneath the grass. Doesn't hurt your grass. I mean, when you're done, the lawn will look a little sparse because you've made some room down there for it to grow, and you'd be amazed at how much dead stuff is actually in there. There'll be pickup loads of dead stuff. Rake it up, get it done, and then you aerate. In other words, you pull plugs of soil out. And then after you've plugged it, then you fertilize it, then you water it, and you water it really good. And all that work that you did, then the water and the fertilizer actually gets down into the root zone, and voila, the lawn is on fire. It is green. It is growing. And when you're mowing it, don't mow it too short. Keep it a little shaggy. Don't think you have to buzz cut it every time, because that's what weakens the lawn. And it also causes weeds to come in, because now it's a weak lawn. Uh-huh. So the grass, if it's thick and it's long, long blades, the weeds have a tougher time establishing. Some will still establish, but not a big weed patch.
Yeah,
and
we got a phone call. My dad didn't like anything long, including his hair. You're on the air with Mike Winters.
Hello.
So are you saying he was very lightly thatched?
Yeah.
There you go.
That wasn't my dad. It was his dad.
That woman, Mike, I am so sorry that woman called in and talked to you like that, because she's a rascal. And
wanted information.
She had too much information, and you and I are not going to ever be wearing a bikini, so there we are.
Good. Thankfully.
Yeah, nobody wants to see
that. Do you have a question, sir?
Well, no, I was calling in because I wanted to thank you for being such a wonderful inspiration and such a wonderful teacher in our community. Thank you so much, Mike.
Well, you're sure welcome. And you know, my face is red, my arms are red, and my neck is red.
Looks like he's got a sunburn.
Stop with the compliments, would you?
Well, you know what? You have been such a blessing to our community for so many years.
Okay.
And I'm never gonna stop telling you, because you know what?
I'm gonna change my number, John.
and I would like to apologize then.
No.
And I promise you that you'll never see me in a bikini.
Good. Thankfully.
Yes. Thank you.
Thanks, you guys. Love to be on you.
Take care.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye. Sounds like a good time for a break.
I think so. Recuperate.
All righty. We'll be right back with more of Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show. Don't miss it.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240, KQEN.
Well, we are back and getting our thoughts together. News Radio 1240, KQEN with Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show.
And I've been talking about thatching your lawn and improving it in that way. And again, thatching, all it is raking out the dead grass, the old dead grass, so the lawn can breathe, so it can receive water and food. I mean, that's it. You know, if you like your lawn and you want to maintain it pretty much all the time, about every 2, maybe 3 years, you might run a thatching machine through it. And it's easy. It's work, but it's not hard work, and anybody can run one. And, you know, you just keep thatching and watering and fertilizing, and your lawn gets stronger. And all that is good. and again, you can rent a thatcher from like Roseburg Rentals. I don't think there's another. Maybe what's the one on North Stevens? General. I'm not sure.
No, I don't know.
I don't know. Used to be Lansing and Oliver.
yeah, I remember
way
that
back
name.
In the old days. Yeah,
I remember that name.
Yeah. So, and then, like I said, on the after the thatching's done, the aerating is done, you pull the plugs, you fertilize. The fertilizer actually gets down into the root zone where it does the most good. It doesn't do very much to the grass when it sits on top and cannot penetrate, especially if it's in a thatch. It cannot penetrate the thatch and do anything for you. And when you thatch, you should plug. It's just like a two operation kind of thing. And it's going to stay healthy and be great.
Ready for another call?
Oh, yeah. I'll take calls all day long. It's spring.
Hey there. You're on the Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show.
Okay. And is this all day long I get to talk to him? Is that what he said?
Yeah, go for it.
I'm lonely. I just need to talk to someone. No, just kidding. Okay.
Click.
Well, we got 20 minutes.
You said all day. You said all day, and I heard you.
Well, my days are short in this room.
Oh, I get it. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have a blood good Japanese maple, which I talked to you about last year, and I thought I was losing it.
Uh-huh.
And when I think, when I go back now, I don't think I was giving it enough water. Because once I started watering it, it looked better, of course. But in the meantime, I have some dead limbs. However, some of them now have leaves on some. And what should I, is it ever going to come back, or should I just get a new one?
How big is the tree? How tall?
Oh, gosh, it's probably 8 foot now.
8 foot. But it's mostly leafed out right now at this time?
Well, I got where we cut it at the bottom, and now it's coming back down, you know, leaving out down there, getting some new limbs down below, way down below. And then I've got one branch that has some, a couple branches, but the rest look pretty dead.
Well, before you get rid of it, why don't you prune it? You said it's 8 feet. Prune it down to about 6 feet and see if that improves it.
Okay.
Because what's going on, if some of it's dying and it's in a weakened state, well, what you want to do is reduce the stress, and how you reduce the stress is to prune a lot of the dead wood out and shorten it up so it doesn't have to work so hard.
Okay.
How about fertilizing? Have you fertilized it lately?
No. And what kind do you want me to put on it?
Well, just a good tree and shrub fertilizer. It doesn't have to be fancy. And, you know, get the granular type. Don't get those spikes, those fertilizer spikes.
No.
To me, they're a waste of time and money. But get a good granular food and put a couple of handfuls around the base of it. Don't let it touch the trunk, but, you know, within the drip line. And water it in and and see if that doesn't improve it. But don't don't rush to judgment. You know, we've had a cold, stupid spring with you know, freezing conditions and a lot of mornings. We've had more freezing conditions than we've had in a long time that I can remember. And the ground is still cool, still wet. And I was going to speak about that in my next segment. But we need a little bit, like today is perfect. If we have, you know, three or four more days like this, I think you'll see a lot of that begin to change.
Okay, because, you know, I go out and I pop on the, you know, the limb, and if it pops off, you know, the little, if it breaks off easily, I know it's dead off.
Right.
So okay. So I'll do that until I find where there's some live and cut it down below that maybe, huh? Uh-huh. I just hate to get rid of any tree.
Well, just prune it right real heavy, like I said, and just be patient and see if it comes out of it.
Okay, now, what 12, 12, and 12, or what stuff?
But if you went to the co-op or something like that, Lowe's or wherever you shop, it'll say tree and shrub fertilizer right on the bag. And I don't know, there's so many different formulations, but they're usually, at least 12, 12, 12. You know, it might be 15, 10, 10, you know, something like that.
But as long as it, because, you know, lately I've noticed they're getting less and less, you know, like 8, 8, 8 or something like
I
that.
Know.
Well, that's just I great.
That,
I know.
That's the environmental impact.
I'm so pleased.
I am too.
I'm so pleased with everything, with getting our shots, and who knows if they're any good now. And
you
oh,
might
Lord
give,
have mercy.
You might give the tree
a
shot.
Do you want me to get a COVID shot? I could do that. Yeah,
give this tree a COVID shot. Maybe it'll snap out of its.
That
its
might be my answer. Yeah, well, whatever.
Try those other things first.
A little Johnson and Johnson.
Yeah, that'll work. And, well, after they get everyone else, then I'll say I have a tree that needs it. Okay.
Yeah, there you go. You're on the right track now.
All right. Thank you, Mike.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All righty, that opens up our lines.
Yeah, welcome to the Mike Winters Garden and Comedy Show today. And if you have a good story like my clients have, feel free to call. We'll have a good time.
Yeah, we're down to giving shots of COVID to trees.
COVID to Japanese maples. So, okay, I was talking about springtime tasks that we should have been doing, but if you haven't, you ought to get started. And another task that's very important is when was the last time you had your lawnmower serviced? You know, did you 2 years, 3 years, 2 months, whatever. But you know, those dull blades won't cut your grass. They will beat them to death. They'll break them, but they won't have a clean cut. You know, that's not a healthy way to mow a lawn with dull mower blades. I mean, it's bad for the lawn. It splits the grass, and if it doesn't have a clean cut and the grass is wounded, bugs can get in, fungus can get in, those kinds of things. That's why it's good to have a nice clean cut. So if that's the case, take your mower to a dealer and pay for a full service or something like that, like change the oil, sharpen the blades, tighten up the wheels, the bolts, you know, go through it. And if you see anything wrong, tighten it up. And if it needs a new filter, a gas filter or air filter, you know, depends on the type of mower you have, you know, get it done. And it will work properly. It will cut properly. It will start every time. And it'll be a whole lot easier on your lawn and you when you're mowing. And you know, if you do that once a year service, it's going to help your lawn in the long run. That's how it is. And it's going to extend the life of your mower, and it's going to cut your grass properly. And this is also it's going to prevent you, if you do this maintenance, is also going to prevent you from paying $300 to $1,000 for a new mower. If you haven't priced mowers lately, you're in for a real surprise. And $300 would be a real cheapo. My mowers are right around the walk behinds that we buy are right around $800-$900. So
they don't have any more $99 ones?
No, I haven't seen one in ages, but I don't go to those places.
I won't say where I got it.
No, I'm not going to say anything. another thing you can do, do you clean your mower deck after mowing? In other words, you're done, you pull it over to the garage and you flip it up on so you can see the underneath side of the mowing deck. Is there caked up grass and weeds and ugliness in there? Mm-hmm. Clean it out. Just take a hose and hose that puppy out and get rid of that garbage, because if you don't, the next time you go out and mow your lawn, a lot of some of that stuff is going to fall into your lawn that you're mowing, and there might be some vicious weed seeds or fungus or something that have been living in the underside of your mower to get into your lawn, and you're trying to make it green, you're trying to make it beautiful, and in the meantime you're adding potential enemies to your lawn.
More
and you
garbage.
Can't and you go, what's going on? I've done this and Mike said to do that, and but you didn't clean your mower deck. So that's important. You just get a hose with a nozzle and just, you know, pressure it out and do that. You don't do that a couple, you know, you don't maybe have to do it every time. I would suggest you do it every time, but at least do it a couple of three times during the mowing season, okay? And you'll be good to go. It'd be better for your mower and be better for your grass. Just hose it out. And make sure you check the oil once in a while. It's a good idea to tighten the wheels once in a while. You know, if they're wobbly.
You check the oil?
Yeah, you check the oil, right. You do.
I was kidding.
No, don't kid about that, man.
You don't want a blown up motor.
No, you don't. It's expensive. You're back in the $1,000 category.
Yeah.
Oh, golly. But, you know, the motorized yard tools that you have, they need maintenance. And the more you do on the maintenance part, the longer they last. I mean, that's how it goes, the longer they last. Now, one question that I'm continually asked here in the spring is, why aren't my flowering trees in bloom? My neighbors are doing really well, but mine aren't. What's going on? You know, it's there's a lot of factors involved here. Number one, maybe your neighbor's tree is more in the sunlight. Maybe the soil is a little bit better. Maybe your neighbor fertilizes and keeps up on the maintenance that way. And maybe yours are just, you know, kind of just sitting there, and you haven't done anything to them. You know, there's some logical reasons for all of this happening. And number one, of course, is the weather. The weather can be a factor, and that plant that's in a sunny location or a full shade location, there's going to be a difference in the blooming time, the amount of blooms, or the when it leafs out, and that kind of thing, because. Right now, this year, we've had really a cooler spring day by day than we've had in the past. Mm. So, you know, if you've got something in a shady location, it's, you know, 5 to 7 degrees cooler than something in the full sun. And, you know, not only is it warmer in the sun, there's also more sunlight and the soil is warmer. So there's some factors here. There's some natural factors going on. Here's a tree. It's always sunny. It has good soil. And the soil is warm, and there's a tree in the other yard or next to you that's in total shade. Same kind of tree. Maybe you planted them the same time. And it's not even budded up yet. It's just kind of sitting there looking like it's dormant. Well, it's because of the weather. At least yours is getting sun. At least yours is getting some moisture. At least yours is getting, and the one in the shade, the soil moisture may be too cold yet, because it's still very wet, because there's no sunlight actually hitting the surface of the ground. So consequently, the ground doesn't warm up. So you're going to have a slower release time or a slower time for that tree or that shrub to wake up and get going.
We got a break and a caller.
We got a break and a call. Okay.
All right. Let's take the break so we'll have time for the caller.
Okay. You tell them that.
We'll be back. Mike Winters, Lawn and Garden Show, News Radio, 1240 KQEN. Are you there? Can you hear me? There we go. I'll be right with you after the break here, about a minute. Thank you.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All righty. We are back with Mike Winters, Lawn and Garden Show, and our caller. Thank you for holding.
You bet.
So how can I help you?
Yeah, Michael, this is Norman.
Norman, hi. Norman Call.
Yeah.
How are you, buddy?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. We're rebuilding, as
good.
You know.
Good.
I do have a couple of questions for you.
Yes, sir.
I lost my forest, and unfortunately, in my forest were dogwood trees.
Uh-huh.
The native, you know, Pacific Northwest dogwoods.
Yep.
And I want to plant some up here. Can you know where I can get them?
You want the native white dogwood or just the what you can find in a nursery or what?
Oh, I can get the coosas from you. That's not a problem, but I'd like to get some natives back up here.
Well, I don't know at this time of year. I would have to do some research, Norman, but I can look in my books and call a few nurseries up north that grow seedlings. Are you interested in seedlings or something larger?
I like to have a few larger, and also I'm going to be planting a lot of seedlings, but not till next winter.
I see.
Yeah, I got a lot of cleanup yet to do.
Yeah. So I will. What I'll do is I'll do some research and see what I can come up with and let you know. How's that?
That sounds great.
Okay.
Yeah, I plan on coming to see you in a couple of weeks. I like to pick out some specimen trees too.
Okay. Well, I got a few.
Yeah, I know. I appreciate it because I really like to get some dogwoods back up here since this is the Dogwood Motel, after all.
Well, that's a good point you have there, sir.
Yeah. All righty. Well, I'll sit and wait to
okay.
hear from you.
All right. Well, thank you for calling, Norman. I'll do what I can for you.
You bet, and thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right. Thank
Bye-bye.
You, sir.
Bye-bye.
All righty.
Yeah, the fire came down and really destroyed a lot of his property and burned the three houses across the highway right to the ground. All that was left were their fireplaces and their foundations.
Yeah, and, not good.
I went up and gave a guy a landscape consultation. He's going to rebuild in the same spot, and they want to know what kind of plants he could, you know, use and blah, blah, blah. And so he's going to rebuild and call me back and want me to landscape it, or he's going to buy them and landscape them themselves. And the funny thing is, the fire came right up the strip of the river between the highway and the North Umpqua.
Uh-huh.
And on the other side of the highway, 40 feet away, are these green lush trees. Didn't get not a burnt branch.
Mm.
And then up behind that a couple hundred feet, it's total devastation.
Hmm.
The fire just skipped everywhere, just around everywhere.
Pick and choose.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So anyway, I've been talking about why some trees and some shrubs bloom out earlier than others, and it has to do with shade, it has to do with warmth or wetness or how cool is it and that kind of thing. And those that are in deep shade and wet and cool don't bloom out as faster or leaf out as as fast as someone in the sun. And a good example is my own home. I live in a canyon. And the sun doesn't hit the open space till about around 9 a.m. And we're back in the shade like at about 5 p.m. Now in the summer we've got sun till about 6:15. That's the longest day of the year. And you think about that versus the yard that receives sun from 7 a.m. and stays sunny until 7 or 8 p.m. in the summer. Like I get 7 hours of partial sun as opposed to 12 or 13 hours of the home that's in the sun. And I have more soil moisture, which isn't being warmed up by that sun. And right now, my Japanese maples are just starting to push leaves, where at the nursery, 6 miles away, that's full sun, and the Japanese maples are growing gangbusters, and they've been leafed
wow.
out for almost a month.
Jeez.
And I was at a client's house the other day, and he had a nice Japanese lace leaf maple out in the front yard. He says, look at this thing. It's beautiful. I says, yeah, it's leafing out. He says, last week there wasn't a leaf on it.
Oh, my gosh.
And he said, there was buds, but no leaves. And he said, the sun came out, and within 3 days, the leaves started popping out. So it's, you know, and had to like at my place, like say, is still shady. Mine are just barely coming out. But if you go around town, you can see Japanese maples, just gorgeous in full leaf everywhere, and flowering trees in full leaf everywhere. My flowering trees that I have in my field down from the house, they're just budding up. They're about 2 weeks to 3 weeks behind out here. But my bonus is my spring lasts a long time because it's cool, it's shady, and it doesn't get a lot of sun. So there's no hot sun that destroys the flowers or the leaves. So,
right.
You know, there's good and bad of that thing. And that might be happening in your yard. If you got a real shady yard, hey, things are going to be slower. If you got a real sunny yard, things are going to leaf out and bud up and bloom in quicker. That's as simple as it gets. So don't panic. Don't pull them out. Don't kick them and pour gas on them and burn them. They're coming. Be patient. So, anyway, we got time or not?
Yeah, we got about a minute.
A minute? What am I going to say in a minute? You don't know.
It's your show, my friend.
Well, I guess I could sing a tree song.
There you go.
I'm a little tree. No, look at me. No, I'm not smoking anything. Don't worry.
Yes, he is.
No, I'm not. I don't smoke. Well, anyway, what I was talking about is not just trees, but the same principle works with shrubs and lawns and all that kind of stuff. When you get a lot of sun, a lot of warmth, it gets more growth, period. And I finally mowed my lawn last week for the first time this year. Now, my crew, we've been mowing lawns for our clients for a month or more at this point because they're outgrowing in the sun. So, ta-da.
There you go.
See you next week.
Sorry, caller. I saw you calling in, but we just didn't have time. Do it again next week, though.
Yeah, please. We ran out of time, but we'll have time next week. Call first.
All righty.
All right. Thanks for listening.
The Afternoon Report at 5 is next. News Radio 1240 KQEN.